We're going to start Mezrat Hashem Yom Chafetz Chaim. Hashem's help in the land of Chafetz Chaim.
112?
Page 112. Day 112. You ready, Menachem? Instead over here, five. Threats, two for loyal peace. This segment, Chafetz Chaim, finds it necessary to once again discuss the matter of conversation between husband and wife. If someone tells a woman something derogatory about her husband, she may not repeat this to her husband. Fine, if your wife tells you, she may not repeat this to her husband. Obviously, the same would apply if someone tells a husband something negative about his wife. The consequences of not observing this halacha can be devastating. Many family battles have been started by a husband telling his wife what his mother or sister said about her. Don't tell your wife what your mother said about her. Or by a wife mentioning a criticism which her parents voiced about her husband. Right? The in-laws are getting involved. Chafetz Chaim offers us an important observation. If someone willingly listens to and accepts rechilus from his wife, he's actually sending his wife a message that he is pleased when she shares such information with him. This will encourage her to report to him every time she hears something derogatory about him. Aside from the many transgressions involved with speaking and accepting rechilus, such situations ultimately lead to much distress, resentment, and strife. Therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, a wise husband or wife, upon hearing and being told rechilus by him or her spouse, will make it perfectly clear that such talk is forbidden by the Torah and is not desired, nor a constructive feature in a Jewish home. In short, if your wife wants to tell you rechilus, tell her, I don't want to hear. In a nice way. No, never says if your wife tells you rechilus. Now she's telling you lashon hara. The Chafetz Chaim says there's a different halacha. The halacha that says if someone is speaking lashon hara for a constructive purpose, what's the constructive purpose? The constructive purpose may, sometimes he writes maybe for a woman to vent. That's her constructive purpose. So since she can get it off her chest, it's bothering her, and someone disobeyed her, and she can't get out of it. Right? She can't get over it. She's stuck. Ladies come down and get stuck in these things. They can't. Everyone does, especially women. They get stuck in it. So the constructive purpose of her speaking is in order to just let it out. So if the constructive purpose is so she could continue being a normal person, right, and she tells you what this friend did to her, or enemy, or something did to her, and this and that, she has a whole story, so you listen, and Chafetz Chaim said you have in your mind that you're not going to believe it. You're just listening for a constructive purpose so she could continue being a normal woman. So Chafetz Chaim also said, but stam, just to tell her, your wife said, oh, you know what someone said about you, this and that? You tell her in a nice way that I'd rather know in a nice way. You have to criticize her, tell her she's bad. Say, okay, I'd rather not hear these things. You know, say, fine. You know, don't show that you want to hear it. That's what Chafetz Chaim is saying. Is that good? It's good? Mm-hmm. Chafetz Chaim also said sometimes, let you let her. For a man also, usually it's by a woman, they need to get over it, they can't get over it. You have to let them speak it out. Just let it off their chest. And you make sure to have in mind, you don't believe it's just her woman coming out. Mm-hmm. Or her emotion. Also when you say it to me, also a lot of times it's just that emotion. Maybe a little bit of the story is true, but it's just their emotions blowing up the story. You also have to realize that also. Fine, Baruch Hashem. Now, when the Shabbos happened, we're going to start the new Shabbos. Thank you. Baruch Hashem, everybody came here to start Halacha and Gemara. Baruch Hashem, now we're going to continue. Baruch Hashem, right?
Yeah. Oh, why are you holding in Malchus?
Yudzayin Amar, we're going to repeat the Mishnah over and try to see the last Rashi in the Mishnah.
17a.
We saw the Mishnah on Thursday. We're going to try to review the Mishnah now and try to see how far we can get in the Gemara. The Shabbos help. Ha'arkel Bikurin, Achel Akara Aleh. The first Halacha of the Mishnah is, the Kohen ate Bikurin before it was read on them. Now what does that mean? That means like this. What does the Torah say? The Pasuk in Parashat Kisavei, Perek Chavav Devarim, the 26th Parak, Perek Chavav, what does it say? It says, when you come to the land that Hashem gave you, right? And this Pasuk is only the time that the Mikdash was around. These days we don't do Bikurim anymore. So then, you take from your first fruits that Hashem gave you, put them in a basket, and bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Now you come to the Kohen who's in that day, and you tell him, right, I came to the land that Hashem gave us, Hashem swore to give us, and the Kohen takes the basket in his hand, and he places it in front of the Mizbeach. That's step one. You bring your Bikurim from wherever you live, your fruits, right? Now, what do you do with it? You will come in and you say that, you start saying, I came here from the land that Hashem swore to give our forefathers. Now, the client takes the basket and he puts it down in front of the Mizbeach. He puts it down in an area that's going to be in front of his bath. Sorry, he puts it down on the floor. He puts it down. And then you say, Arami Avin Avi, right? That our great-grandfather was used to serve with the Zara, right? Avraham Avinu's father, Terach, and went to Mitzrayim, and we're a small nation, and we became a huge nation, and the Mitzrayim pained us, and then we cried to Hashem, and Hashem saw our pain, and He saved us. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and He brought us to this place, a beautiful land of Zavas Chalal Vash, flowing with milk and honey. Wow. Says, now I brought my fruits that Hashem gave me, and I placed it in front of Hashem. He bowed in front of Hashem. Then the Kohen takes the fruits, and then he eats them. The Kohen eats them. Now, let's say you did this process. This step one, you brought your first fruit, right? You tied when your first fruits were growing, you tied a gem, you tied something on it, you knew which was your first fruits. You brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, right? And you even put it down. And then you gave it to the Kohen. You skipped reciting this whole, all these psukim.
The reciting, was it part of it before you gave it to the Kohen?
Before you put it down.
Was part before.
No, so really, the main here there is a positive that says you say, but the main recital here we're referring to is after you give it to the Kohen. He takes it from your hand and he puts it down, and then you say, Arami Avid Abi, like Rashi says, referring to Arami Avid Abi. Arami Avid Abi, our grandfather's service, but the Zara, and all these psukim. Now, let's say you did. You brought it to this thing, and you put it down, you gave it to the Kohen. Just, you decided, you don't know, it's too hard for you to read Hebrew. Something happened, and then you skipped the psukim. Now, the Kohen ate these Bikurim. Our Tan and our Mishnah hold, which is Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon holds, he's not allowed to eat it. Until you do the whole process, until it's put in front of the Mizbech, and the psukim are read, you're not allowed to eat it.
The placing came first, you're saying?
No, the placing, sorry, one second. Mm-hmm. You put it down. One second. No, because it says placing twice. That's
a little
confusing.
Put it down. That's the Kriya, correct? Or you say the Kriya and then put it down?
That's the question.
First you put it down, and then you do the Kriya. If the Pesukim again, how does the Pesukim again say put it down? But first you put it down, then you read the Kriya.
First you put it down. Okay.
First put it down.
First it says Kriya, put Kriya, basically. Okay, so you're not having the first Kriya.
Do you hand it to the Kohen and he puts it down, or do you put it down and he takes it?
What?
Do you hand it to the Kohen and he puts it down, or do you put it down and he takes it?
The Pesukim say he takes it from you. He takes it from your hand.
So he's taking it and putting it down.
The nice of it, you're saying that the Kohen is not allowed to eat it until you say this.
Yeah, but he didn't. Let's say he does, but we know a lot of things. Don't you know Shemi Michal Shai? You know a lot of things you can get Malkus for. Technically, they didn't know. They didn't. They don't say they didn't. Something happened. We're saying, for example, it could happen. This is the case.
So, what if he gets distracted?
It can happen that the client forgets.
Yeah, he didn't read
something. Good. So you're going to punish. You're going to punish the person giving the sacrifice
eating.
No, because the one giving the sacrifice is putting it, giving it to the coin's hands. He's not putting it down.
No, and he really waves it with the coin, but he waves it with the coin, and he's supposed to read. He really waves it together with the coin. He waves it together with it.
So he's physically handing it to the coin, and they both wave it together.
Yeah, they wave it together. They wave it, and then he reads these things, right? And then he gives it to the Kohen. The Kohen, whatever, they do it together. The Kohen, so they put his hand under his hand, and they wave it all. Good.
Side by side.
The way you do it. I'm sorry.
Can we do the whole Texas all over again?
No. I don't know. It's a good question. Fine, let's try to continue over here. Let's try to continue. So, what happened?
One more question.
Yeah.
The waving happens before or after?
Before the reading, meaning with the putting.
You put it down.
No, so you wave it.
And
you don't put it. You wave it. The psukim said you wave it. And
wave it.
You wave it, and then you read the words.
And
then you read.
And then you put it down.
That's a question.
I tell you, Rashi says the psukim said he knocked it twice.
What's the big thing?
What? One second. He's in the middle talking. Yeah. I'll read the psukim. Psukim said over here.
It's a question on the order. I'm just asking the order.
I'm confused. Excuse me, I'm confused. The pasuk here says, I thought the order was afterwards. I thought you put it down afterwards.
I also did.
But we'll see soon. We'll see when we start tomorrow, when we get to the Ma'akir.
The question is, what's the problem for the Kayan to remind him?
It's irrelevant to the Gomorrah, though.
There's a story.
I don't know nothing, you know.
First you put it down, and then you, what's it called? That you first put it down, and then you eat. What's it here? Good.
First put it down, and then
But we say also the putting down, yeah. You put
it down. When did they do the, I'm sorry.
The waving?
The waving.
Before. You wave it. Put it down, and then read.
And then read. Okay.
So, who puts it down, the Kohen or the Yib?
Together, you both hold it
down. So, you both put it down?
Correct. I think. I don't know nothing.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
Go ask. No. I don't know nothing. Cool.
But I think. See, like the Kohen puts it down.
Okay, so, if the
Kohen. He takes it from your hand and puts it down.
If the Kohen's the one putting it down, then when the Kohen takes the food before he takes it down, before it's been set aside, like as before it becomes Bikurim, after the waving, then the person who gives the Bikurim is punished because then his sacrifice isn't accepted.
Fine, he'll have his onus, but he didn't eat it, so he didn't get mocked for eating it. You're right. He messed up and he didn't bring his Bikurim properly. You're right.
Well, he brought it, but it's on the fault of the Kohen that he wasn't brought properly.
Why? Who didn't read? He didn't read. He didn't read.
He didn't have the opportunity to.
Why not? I don't know. We never said that he grabbed it away. He took it. I don't know.
We're saying it wasn't the Kohen's hand. The Kohen's one puts it down. We're saying the story. Kohen's eating it before it's being placed in front of his
family. He took it home and it just took him whatever read. Which case? In Hanukkah? That way there was some case you just didn't read. It was put down. You just didn't read.
I'm saying it for Hanukkah.
Question.
Okay. Hanukkah, fine. It's clear he was listening.
There's not a base of English. Not everybody read. Was there a way that he could say it about him with somebody?
I'm sure they worked it out. Yeah, I'll say it by heart.
They transliterated. Who's
it's the coin, because the coin was one who wasn't allowed to eat it. It's true. The owner, he didn't fulfill his mitzvah bikurim properly. It's true. However, the Kohen, the one who ate it, and it wasn't mutter to eat it yet. I mean, in kachem, is always something called a matter. Whereas by kachem is always a matter. Meaning, if something is holy, you can't eat it. A Kohen or Yisrael can never eat it unless you do the matter. So usually, if it's a carbon, when you put the fats on the mizbeach, like go to the mizbeach, that's the matter. Now you can eat it. Or the zrika, either sprinkle it in the blood, we'll see in the Gemara later. But over here, what makes the Kohen allowed to eat it? What gives the permission
that's
to eat
question.
It? So we're saying, if you didn't read, that's the matter. By you have to put it down, wave it, and read it in order to be able to eat it.
That's
Rabbi Akiva. That's our Mishnah. Yeah, let's see our Mishnah. If you, someone who ate Bikurim before you read, it was not read. Or, Kachi Kadashim, you ate from what's considered a higher level of Karbanah. So, Kachi Kadashim, Chutz Laklam, outside the curtains, when there was a Mishkan, there was curtains, and the Beis HaMikdash, there was the walls of the Azar. Or, Kachim Kalim, Umayser Sheni. Kachim Kalim or Meister Sheni outside the walls of the Yerushalayim, or Hashever Esa Etzem BePesach Hatar, one who broke the bones of a Karim Pesach, which is Tahar, which is an Isser Deraisa, so you're not allowed to break the bone. All these cases are raised there, like Harezu, like Arba'in. These cases, behold, they're going to get 40 lashes. Aval, however, Hameister B'Tahar, if you leave over a Karim Pesach, even if it's a pure Karim Pesach, or one who breaks the bones, betame, if I break the bones of a tame karmen pesach, ain't no like arbami, do not get 40 malchus. Now why? Because if it's nicer, if you left it over, you don't get malchus because it's a lava and it's a glace. If you break the bones of a tame animal, there's no malchus because only when it was pure. Mm-hmm. We'll see the psukim later.
So would that also include something that's treif?
No, it's going to refer to
namely the improper shita. Yeah, something went wrong.
Here's.
Because the only prohibition is on the Korban Pesach.
Here, okay, you're asking if something else went wrong with the Korban Pesach, not tell me. What's your question? In Korban Pesach?
Say, like they found blemish.
It's a treif, let's say it's a treif in the Korban Pesach, right? And then you left it over. So you're not going to eat it anyways. Time you can't eat.
Right.
It's no Isser. No, so then there's no Isser. We're saying even in a case where you could have eaten it, it was a pure, and you left it over, still there's no malchus. Meaning like this. In a case where it was tame, or something happened to it, you're not allowed to eat the it's not nicer. Right?
Right.
But even if you were able to eat it, and you left it over, halacha is, you still don't get malchus.
Because you can burn it.
Because you can burn it, right. We're saying even. Saying that's the case here. We're saying even if it was pure, and you left it over a pure kind of Pesach, still, you don't get malchus. Right? The Rashi in Pesachim says, for sure, if it was a tummy carbon Pesach, or something else was disqualified, for sure you don't get malchus for nicer. When we say over here, hamaisa, if you leave over a pure animal, the pure kind of pesach, you don't get malchus. It's only even if it's pure. If it's tummy, for sure you don't get malchus. Or it's disqualified. Even if it's pure, you still don't get malchus, So it's a lav hanitik lasik.
Do we know that you may have to burn the yellow tameh? The tameh?
If it's tame,
the purpose was to be for a korban pesach.
Right.
And you found that it's tame. Do you have to burn that one?
No,
you can't
usually
eat from it, but do you have to burn it? What has to be done to that?
Sometimes
you still can eat it.
Well, no, that was tame. It's tame. You can't eat tame.
Look, why? Like something that's truma that's become tame, you have to burn it.
Sometimes you burn something, you bury it. I don't remember. Sometimes you burn something, you bury it. I just don't remember. That's all. I don't know the exact time. I know that sometimes you burn something, you bury it. I don't know. Certain kachim. I don't know which level. You burn it or bury it. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly all the rules. What's after you eat it? It's a tummy. It's a kachim that became tummy.
I'm not talking about calling you here.
Doesn't matter. You're not. But you can't.
You're
already kachim.
If you're telling me in the
book, you can't eat kachim. Not kachim. You can't eat kachim that became disqualified kachim.
That was all tahor.
Of course, and you had to be tahor. Of course, because that is
tummy. And the eaters had to be tahor.
Yeah, of course. If not, you bring pesach sheni. Yeah, now you have to bring pesach sheni. There's no current pesach.
But isn't if there's a majority of the people?
That's fine. That's a new halacha. Fine. That's a different halacha.
You could eat a carbon pesach.
Yeah. Fine. Nachon. It's true. If that's a different halacha. Sorry, a different side halacha. If the majority of the clients was tameh, like they had in the midbar problem. Let's say anyway. Okay. Anyway, this is the side halacha. If everybody, the majority of people are tameh, you can eat when you're tameh. Anyway, in a normal case,
but that's now.
But we don't. The reason why we don't bring carbon pesach now is because you don't know this place. Besides the place, it might be like Sakas the Fashi, you might get killed if you go up there. We don't know the place, exact place of the Mizbeach. That's why we don't bring Karim Pesach these days. You're right, really, technically we should bring Karim Pesach, because Allah is, if most of the Klai Israel is Tameh, you're allowed to bring it one with Tameh. But since we don't know the exact place of the Mizbeach, and you might get killed if you go up there, we don't bring it these days. Fine. Let's see. That's going to be a minute. Bring it. Fine, let's see the next case. Hanoitel Eim Alabanim, one who takes the mother, the child's children, when the mother's still there, by Shalach HaKein, you're supposed to send away the mother. You took the children when the mother's still there. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Leika, the Enim Shaleach. Yehuda said, you get Malchus. It doesn't help you to send away the mother bird now. Chachamim and the Chachamim say, no, Mishaleach, send away the mother bird now. Then look, you won't get Malchus. If someone, they took the children when the mother's still there. And they got the law of don't take the mother on when the children are still there. Right?
They send it away and do it,
no? So Yehuda says, send it away now, and you don't get Malchus. Like the Eim Shaleach. Chachamim say, Shaleach, let's see Rashi. So we switch. I'm saying we're not talking about Allah Shaleach. Fine.
You do get Malchus because you don't send her away.
Correct. It's not going to help you. Yehuda says,
you do get Malchus.
I had
this question before.
Yeah.
Rebbe Gemara. Rebbe Gemara, Rebbe Gemara, Rebbe Gemara, Rebbe Gemara, correct. Rebbe says you get Malchus, it's not going to help you to send it away.
You said Rebbe Gemara told you it's a positive.
And there's no more.
Right, there's not a lot of things to say.
Right, there's no more positive to fix it. There's a negative without a positive to fix it.
It really told you it's a positive, then followed by a negative.
Fine, I'm saying it, but the point is, fine, but the point is, it's a negative.
Send it away, because still get Malchus?
There's no more mitzvah. If you're supposed to do shalach hakein, what happened over here? There's
a sugya
that early.
The commandment is send away.
Send away. Now you were over. It says don't take the children when the mother's there.
You send it away. No, goodbye.
But you didn't do that already. You took the children first. You had a lot.
Naughty.
There's a difference between pasuk sequence and action sequence. That's just saying that you just didn't do the action in the proper order.
No, but Rashi means more earlier. The shaila is what the pasuk said afterward. Did the pasuk really mean? Right, when the pasuk said send it away, it's not referring to a new assay of sending it away.
Right.
We're reiterating the original thing. Send it away.
It seems to be like a was just saying this was the direction the Torah is giving you, not kashrut to lash into lase.
No, but Rashi, we had the Gemara earlier, it is kashrut. We had, and Rashi brings down the Gemara again, it is. No, he's saying it's not a lot of class say. In this case, no, there's no extra assay. Chachamim was saying the pasuk says shaleach l'shala. He's saying it's reiterating, he's just telling you, send it away. Don't take the mother. Don't take the.
Giving you directions.
I'm saying, just explaining to you. But that's what you mean. Good.
I'm saying that. Right. Fine, not lashon klase, just because you have a lav and then an asay afterwards doesn't always make a lashon klase. Here is the Torah just giving you directions on how to properly do it.
Good point. That's what you mean. Okay, perfect. Good. Sounds good. So let's see Rashi on this. Like of it, Mishaleach.
Oh, you want to do all of
it? No, because we did already. I want to try to get to the Gemara. We did all of them on Thursday.
Okay.
Let's see Rashi by Leika, the Enem Shaleach. 8 lines from where to go Rashi, the end of the Rashi on the Gemara. Look, I mean, Shaleach. Kasavar, he holds Shaleach me'ikar mashma. When it says Shaleach, it sounds like it's teaching us the original sending. It's not telling you again another mitzvah to send it away after you took the children. Don't send the mother away now. Ve'in kan lav shenitik lase. There is not over here a lav shenitik lase. The avakav, even though tichsiv shalech t'shalach achar lesikach, even though it says send it away after it says lesikach, which seems that it's giving you a asay after the lesa asay. You say, lav lemeimer, it's not to tell you kim lakachta, if you took it, shalech, send away now. Ella rather, lesikach, don't take it. Ella rather, shalchena kaidim lakicha, send it away before you took it. So the pasuk is not giving you a new asay over here to send it away. What do Chachamim say? No, Chachamim Emrim. Mishalech ve'eno leke. Send it away and you don't get Malkus. Kasavi, they hold. Shalech achal kicha mashma. Shalech is after you send it away. The lav shenitik lasehu. And it's a lav shenitik lasehu. It is a lav that came after the asay. So it's the little sugi we had earlier. If Shaleach is giving you, if Shaleach the Shalach is giving you a new assay or not. But let's see the end of the Mishnah. Zakah, this is the rule. Kol mitzvah lois assay. Every mitzvah lois assay. Sheyesh bo kum assay, that has a assay afterwards. In chayav naleh, you're not chayav on it malchus. So if you have a lois assay, then you have the assay, you're not chayav malchus. Let's see the Gemara. So it's really, we went through it quickly. We really saw basically the Mishnah on Thursday. We just want to repeat it again, whoever wasn't here. Thank you. Good times. Amar Rabba Barachana. Let's see the Gemara. Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yechana. Rabba Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yechana, Zu, this. This is the words of Rabbi Akiva, and it's a Stam Mishnah. Now, which words were you talking about? So, what's the rule? Whenever Gemara just starts talking, what's it referring to? Or you're referring to the first line in the Mishnah. So, the Gemara doesn't tell you what we're talking about. You have to realize that we're already going on the Mishnah. We're going to go back to the first line of the Mishnah. What was the first line of the Mishnah? We spoke about Bikurin, right? What was the first line of the Mishnah? Ha'aychel Bikurin. Achaloi kara alehim, right? He says, someone who ate bikurin, achaloi kara alehim, before you called on them. Which means, you brought the bikurin, you did the process, without saying the psukim. You didn't say the psukim of a rami of an other. What our Mishnah say? The kohen goes and eats it. What our Mishnah say? The kohen who eats these fruits. What our Mishnah say? He gets malchus. Yes. Now, who holds like this? Our Mishnah sounds like it's everybody. Comes to Gemara and says, no, this is only Rekiva Sima. Aval Chachamim, I remember the Chachamim say, Bikurim, by Bikurim, Hanacha Ma'akevis Behem. Putting down the fruits is Ma'akev, it holds back from the Kohen being able to eat it. And Ma'akev needs to hold back. The Ain Kriya, but Kriya Ain Ma'akevis Behem. The reading of the Psukim does not hold back to them, does not hold back the Kohen from eating them.
Not dependent. You said dependent? It's not dependent on the reading?
It's not the exact word. Fine, that's what it means.
If you put it down, then you can eat.
Fine, dependent. As long as you put it down, and then the Kohen took it, he could eat it. As long as you did the waving process to put it down, you could eat. That's according to the Chacham. So you thought our Mishnah was Lekulei Alma, you thought our Mishnah was Chachamim. No! It was really only Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Chan is telling us in the name of his Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan. The special mitzvah of the Kohen putting it down. If you don't do this, then you can't eat it. But if you just missed reading it, you don't know how to read, you skipped the reading, then it's going to be, then it's okay.
So he's waving it with the owner.
Yeah, that was a waving also, but there's another halach. Besides your waving, you have to also put it down. So if you skip the step of putting down, that's a problem. But if you just skip the process of reading, the chacham hold is okay.
So if he grabbed like an apple out of the basket while we were still in midair, he'd be getting lashes?
Yes. Yes. So let's see Rashi. So the theory of the Akiva. What is Rashi? The first Rashi in the Gemara. Masnisim, our Mishnah that taught Bikurin Kriya Ma'akva, that by Bikurin the reading holds it back, Ma'akva Bahu, it holds it back in them, from the Kohen can't eat it. That's Rabbi Akiva. That is really, it's Rabbi Akiva. Shahaya Ragil, Rabbi, that Rabbi was accustomed, he was used to list time Devarim, to close his words, meaning not to tell us who it was. The Mishnah, Bistam, and Mishnah Stam, just leave it plain without telling us who it is. The Kama Makam is in a few places. We know there are a few places that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, who compiled the Mishnahs, he didn't tell us who it was, and sometimes they weren't going to be Rebbe Akiva. Vahachi, and like this, Shmiya Leila Rebbe Yechman, this is how who was heard to Rebbe Yechman, he had a Mistara. The Isla, the Rebbe Akiva, that Rebbe Akiva, there is the Rebbe Akiva, that opinion. That Kriya, that just the reading Ma'akiva of the Bikurim, will hold back by the Bikurim. So Rabbi Yechanan is saying, Rabbi Yechanan told the name of Rabbi Yechanan, he has a Mistara, that our mission is not everyone, it's only going to be the Chachamim. Yeah.
So the Stam here is going on the fact that he would take out the name of the person, or he would...
He just wouldn't say who it was.
So he's the one who's always saying, Divrei Zeh.
When you transcribe.
He's the one who's writing that, right?
Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi writes, right. So what
it said over here is that he was doing it because he actually held according to that Tana, and he wanted that the halacha should go according to that Tana.
Right.
So he was doing it. I guess so it sounds like it's all Shmo.
Right. No, so he was doing it like this. If you're going to see a Mishnah with a Yachin and a Rabin, you would think you go with the rule. Yachin or Rabin. You go with Rabin. That's us because we don't know anything. He knows we don't know how the rules work. Really, the rule that's usually the rule, unless there's a lot of besides all the exceptions. There's halacha like this one, a lot of different halachas that even if you're the master in Ezekiel, Hilchos Rav Bedine, and then Imam Rav is the master. So even if the Rav goes against, we don't care because you tower them and you're so. Therefore, whenever he knew the halacha would be like the Stam, if you tell us the name, we would get confused. We would think the halacha is like the Chachamim. So therefore, he would leave the name out. He would just tell us Stam. Mm-hmm. However, let's say we want to know who it is. For our purpose, it will help us to know who it is. So. It could be, everyone wants to tell us this is going to be Rabbi Akiva. You should know that there's only one sheet. That's not everyone. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did it like this to know this is how we paskin. But you should know there are other opinions. Maybe we'll help you understand better. Good? So comes, what's the problem?
That's a side point.
The reason why he would write his stop. The point is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would write some Mishnayis stop. He wouldn't write who the author was. Or that opinion.
Well, why do you say it again?
There is one sheet that wanted that he didn't want you to understand that this is a yachid, because then you'll think that in this case the halacha is like the rabbi was arguing on it, and it's not true.
He didn't want to challenge.
So in this case, the halacha is like
the yachid. Yeah, correct. And therefore, he knew you're going to get confused, right? You have to realize the Mishnais was their Shulchan Aruch. They didn't have Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes, I don't know exactly when.
To make it look like a Das Rabin.
Or you shouldn't get confused. To know that, right, don't think it's a Yachid and the Halacha is not like it. So I'm telling you, stop. I'm not telling you, it's not everyone. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not telling you it's the Rabin. I'm leaving a plane to think that you might think there's a unanimous opinion.
So you see this throughout the Gemara?
There are stop every stop mission, which is a lot of stop missionaries.
So how do you translate Zodiver Rabbi Kiva?
Oh, so it's Zodiver Rabbi Kiva. These are really the words of Rabbi Akiva. One second.
Because anytime there was an authored Mishnah, you assumed it was. Archibald says you assume it's Rabbi Akiva.
No, so not, it's a little complicated at that point, because we know stop mission for a mayor. Stima means astamishna, plain, which means this is a Rabbi Akiva. Stima, it was really Rabbi Akiva that was mentioned stam. It was Stima.
Yeah, wasn't mentioned.
Right, that was plain, right, it wasn't.
There, then the Mishnah doesn't say it's him, but Rabbi Akiva is...
It's really Rabbi Akiva.
He's the astamishna.
Right. Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Akiva, Stima. I'm not sure it's a lashon of sasum. I think it's a lashon of stam. It's saying this is a lashon of Rabbi Akiva. Stam, a plain Rabbi Akiva. We didn't say who it was. This is one of the places where it's Rabbi Akiva that we were printed plain without him. So Rabbi Akiva's Tzimah was a Stam Mishnah, which is really Rabbi Akiva. Fine. Yeah, so basically, you have to know the rule. The rule is really, if a Stam, all Stam Mishnah is a Rabbeinu. It's a little complicated how this Gemara is saying Stam Mishnah is going to be Rabbi Akiva, but it's a different point. Rabbi Meir is really a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. So it could be it's also Rabbi Meir, also Rabbi Akiva.
Is there also a side to say that it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's words that he put in there, and therefore he didn't put
it? No, because we'll tell you, Dere Rebbe. He'll tell you what it is, or he'll say, Dere Yehuda, Dere Rebbe. Call him Rebbe.
And he's still a Yachid. They didn't want to put his name there.
It could be, but usually Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. There's Mamish no name, there's rules how it works. We know Reb Yehuda Nasi told us the rule, meaning there's a Messiah and all the rules. Usually Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. Oh, here, I have a question why we're saying here Stam Mishnah is Reb Akiva. They bring that one pshat and one, there is a pshat that Reb Meir is really a Talmud Reb Akiva. So if you tell me all Stam Mishnah is Reb Akiva, it's not really contradicting the rules Stam Mishnah Reb Meir. It's a side point. Anyway, our Gemara is saying this Stam Mishnah is Reb Akiva. It's just like all these things are big. Still, you have to stop Mishnah's work. It's the topic of its own, really. Yeah. But basically, for argument, we need to know is we're saying this Mishnah is a plain Mishnah, but it's really going to be Rabbi Akiva. It's really, we're attributing it to Rabbi Akiva. It's not the rabbi. Usually, fine, you have to know, because in this case, whatever, fine. Anyway, it's complicated, because usually the halach would be like the stam. In this case, obviously, it's not like that. It's a little bit complicated over here. Right, Rabbi Yosef, in this case, Allah is not like the Stam. The whole reason why he wrote the Stam is Allah is like him. In this case, it happens to be Allah is not like the Stam anyway.
Right.
It's a side point, side question, why you would write it as a Stam. Fine, anyway, what does our Gemara say? Again, Amar Rabbi Abba Rabbi Chan Rabbi Yechon. Zu Tivir Rabbi Akiva Stima. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva, and it was a Stam mission according to him. It was a plain mission. It's really Rabbi Akiva. Ha-Chacharim Oymerin. By Bikurim Hanacha Ma'akaris Ben. Only the placing down will hold the fact that you didn't place it down. That is the ma'akabah. Kriya, the reading, ain't ma'akabah, but will not hold it back from them, from the coin being able to eat them. So that's the Rashi, because Zudu Rebekiva. Zudu Rebekiva. Masnis and Armish.
Again, since the. Why would you even. The reading comes after the Hanicha. So why would you think.
Because what's the difference? Because if you skip one of the steps, which means, let's say you skip one of the steps. Hanukkah, you
is the Momachmet.
Right, Kiva holds, and even Kriya.
You have to have Kriya also.
Right, you have to have Kriya, which means, I'll tell you why. You would think Hanukkah is an action. It's not just a speech. You have to bring it, you have to put it down. So maybe, just because the speech is Ma'akev, what about the Hanukkah? But we're not saying the order, so to speak. We're saying just because one step is Ma'akev, who said the other step is not Ma'akev? Okay, what's your question? The order of the Gemara is the way the Gemara is putting the words?
Order, you know, you're saying that the Hanicha comes before the Kriya.
Good.
In the procedural aspects.
Good.
Right? So, the Chachamim say it's the Hanicha that's the Me'akev. If you didn't, but let's say. Yeah, okay, never mind.
Okay. It's good.
Sidetracked.
Kriya Me'akev is fine. But so, let's see Rashi. Zu the Rabbi Akiva, Masnis in the Ketani, Bikurim Kriya Ma'akev. Let's see Rashi again. Our Mishnah that teaches us that Bikurim, the reading, is Ma'akev, holds back. Rabbi Akiva, it is Rabbi Akiva. Shai Ragil Rabbi. Rabbi was accustomed listam devar to close his words. The Mishnah, Bistam, just write it plain without telling you who it was. Bekama Makaris in a few places, he just doesn't tell us who the Tana is. Vahachi Shmiale, and this, like this, it was heard to him, to Rabbi Yechla, to Rabbi Yechna. He had a Messiah. There is later Rabbi Akiva, that there is Rabbi Akiva, this opinion, that Kriya Ma'akva Bibikurim, that the reading holds back by Bikurim. But Hanacha, Hanacha placing with Neha Mizbeach, placing in front of Mizbeach, Me'akarizban, according to the Chachamim, the Hanacha, it does hold back. Why? The Shana Bakrux, the Pasuk repeated it, the Pasuk taught it a second time. Rashi brings
two times.
Yeah, shana is like to like you review something. Second it's always time. Second time. Because what does it say? V'hinichu lefanav. One in pasuk Baruch Hu first says v'hinichu lefanav. Then later at the end it says v'hinachta lefanav. Right, you place it in front of it. So therefore, why does the pasuk have to repeat it twice? The fact that the pasuk repeated it twice to teach us, it sounds like a nice thing to do. And if you don't do it, it's okay. It's not okay. You must do this. This is part of the criteria. If you don't do it, it's disqualified. You might think I've trucked all my fruits here. and I threw it, and I put it down, and I gave it to the kohen. So, and I gave it to the kohen. So big deal, just didn't put it down in front of the mizbeach. What's so bad? I gave it to the kohen at the end. No, the Torah reiterates twice. You have to put it down. If you skip this step, then your bikurim is disqualified. It doesn't work. It's not good. The kohen is not allowed to eat it.
So you say that's the most important thing, really, the ikur is to really put it down.
One of the main points. You see,
if
yes.
I said it twice, it reinforces it by saying the second time, correct. The ikur is to set it down.
It's one of the main, yeah, it is an ikur over here.
So right. If he skips one of the steps, does he have to repeat, can he start over again from the beginning?
He could start, but the case over here was he ate it, the Kohen ate it without restarting it. You could restart it if you want, if you did it wrong, you did it to bikurim, yeah, you did it wrong. You could restart it, but over here he didn't. Over here he just, the Kohen was hungry maybe. And then the Kohen ate the apple right away. I don't know what happened exactly. So over here, he messed up. Fine. So our Gemara is saying, our Mishnah must be Rabbi Akiva. Let's see the third line. The Gemara of Lema, and let us say Zudire Rib Shimon Sima. Maybe it's a Stam Mishnah according to Rib Shimon. Why?
You have such things?
Yeah, it could be Stam Mishnah like Rib Shimon. But obviously, over here we know there's such opinion exists. We know Rav Shimon holds like this. You're telling me who's the opinion? It's not the Racham, it's Rabbi Akiva. But why do you say it's Rav Shimon? And why is it better to say it's Rav Shimon more than Rabbi Akiva?
We have an opinion of Rav Shimon.
Yeah, we have an opinion of Rabbi Akiva also.
We don't know we have an opinion of Rabbi Akiva.
Why not? Rabbi Yechon told me. Rabbi Yechon told me he has a mystery that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So, we have to see Rashi. Rashi is going to tell us why. Rashi tells us the secret why Rav Shimon is better than Rabbi Akiva. In this case. Yeah, what's the Chana? What's the wise question? I told you it's Rabbi Akiva. Tell what, maybe it's Rav Shimon. It could be both of them. Why do you have to attribute to Rav Shimon better, more than Rav Akiva? What do you gain? What's Rashi say? The name was to the Rav Shimon. The Havalei, it should have been to him, la'asuye, to bring si'ata, a proof, la'milse, to his words. Right? Mi masnista, probably masnista, they change it. From a braisa, dilakaman. We're going to bring a braisa further on. Gemara is going to bring it soon. Which is a beferusha braisa, not just because you know, you happen to know here from your Rebbe, who's from his Rebbe, it's Rebbe Akiva. We know it's a solid braisa that teaches it to us. It's much more, so it's a better shita. The Shamir Reb Shimon, but the Reb Shimon teaches us, the Islay, there is the Kimas Nisan, like our Mishnah, like Kimas Nisan, like our Mishnah, the Kriya that they're reading, Ma'akwabu is Ma'akwab. So why are you telling me you heard from your Rebbe, you heard from his Rebbe, you have a homosexual Rebbe Akiva? Just what I would rather say, it's Rav Shimon. I have a brisa that says Beferish. We have the brisa in front of us.
We have an explanation of it. We have an explanation of Rabbi Akiva.
What do you mean by explanation? We have it brought down. What do you mean by explanation?
Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says I know it's Rabbi Akiva. That's it. We don't have an explanation. This is saying we actually have an explanation.
Meaning we have a brisa.
Yeah,
what do you mean? We have it brought down. Fine. Yeah, good. Fine. I understand what you meant by explanation. Fine. Good. Yes. That's the wise question. I said we have it. We have a source. We have a source, basically. Source. That's a better word. We have a source for it. And it's true you heard it from your Rebbe, but it's better to bring me from a place. It can be both of them, but if you try to tell me who the Tana is, tell me it's Rav Shimon, who, you know, it's a known Shita.
He was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva.
Rav Shimon. It's true that Rav Shimon was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, it's true. However, still, if we have a better source, our source is Rav Shimon, we rather, why don't you bring it from there? It's true, Rebbe. If what I'm saying, why can't you just bring it? It's Rabbi Akiva also. We know it's Rabbi Akiva also. But for our purposes, if you're trying to ask me a question, it's better to bring it from somebody that has a source to it. You always want to bring something with a proof. It's quite as quite. Let it be Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara answered like this. Hakam Asmala, this is what we're coming to teach you. To Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, Sirilei. Saying, you're right, I could have told you it's Rabbi Shimon. And it would have been a smarter thing, maybe a clearer, to tell you to Rav Shimon. You would have known better what I was referring to. Because you have such a bright like Rav Shimon. However, I wanted to teach you another thing. That Rabbi Akiva holds like Rav Shimon. That when Rav Shimon said this, he was getting it from Rabbi Akiva. He wasn't saying it on his own. So by me telling you, tell me about Mishnah's Rabbi Akiva. And I didn't just tell you the Mishnah's Rav Shimon. I want you to understand the opinion of Rabbi Akiva also. So you're right. I could have said it should be Rav Shimon. By me telling you, it should be Rabbi Akiva, is to explain to you that this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva also, that's information you wouldn't have known on your own. Mm-hmm. And this, we only know from a Masara that Rabbi Yochanan heard from his Rabbi Barachana, heard from Rabbi Yochanan, heard from his Rabbi.
Just backing it up one step.
Yeah. So we're saying, by the way, you know it's Rabbi Shimon, but now I'm teaching you it's also Rabbi Shimon from Rabbi Akiva.
Okay.
It's good? So that's, you asked me, why are you coming to Rabbi Akiva, I say Rabbi Shimon, we have a price that's clear. The answer is, I want you to know that Rabbi Shimon's coming from Rabbi Akiva. And it really, it's also Rabbi Akiva who holds like this. It's really one opinion. Fine, Shkirach, we'll stop over here.